got fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns.
Dr. Leonard Sweet joins me now. Hopefully, Lynn, that is on the soundtrack for the book Rings of Fire.
Hey, it sure is. Good morning, Carmen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. I'm well. So I could start this conversation by asking you where the global pandemic falls in the wild cards, black swans, and game-changing super volcanoes portion of this conversation. But let's set the conversation up for people. When you talk about there being rings of fire, and now really one global ring of fire, to what are you referring?
That we're living in a culture where volcanoes will be erupting all the time, and we've moved from a fixed world in my lifetime to a flexible world to a fluid world, and now that fluid is magma. It's lava. It's a hot fluid world where anything can happen at any moment. In fact, in the book, I actually said that there will come a time. This book came out in November of last year. That there would come a time when China would catch a virus and it would sneeze and would infect the whole world. And I had no idea how how soon that would come. But that's the kind of world we're living in. Now the good news is that volcanic soil, which what the volcano leaves behind, is some of the most productive soil, and you get the best coffee from it. You get the best vegetables from it. It's rich soil for growing things. But you've got to deal with the volcano first.
So yeah, and it burns stuff up, right? I mean,
yep.
it creates a noxious gas, and there are byproducts of it that you have to live with in the aftermath, and all of those things are you deal with in this book. And what you're trying to do is get the church to not just wake up to the reality in which we now live, but prepare the next generation to lead the future church.
Exactly. And this preparedness, you can't plan for this world anymore. The whole planning model, nobody planned or had any strategic plan. There was, okay, deal with COVID-19. It's a world where you've got to be in a state of preparedness. Planning models don't work. It's the prepare. If you remember the 10 bridesmaids, 10 were strategic planners. They said, we're going to trim our wicks because we're sick to the plan because we know when the bridegroom's going to come. And 5 of them said they were the preparers. They said, we have no idea when the bridegroom's coming. You just got to be prepared at every moment for his arrival. And so it's a world now of preparedness, not planning. And that's part of the challenge of this book.
Well, and that's part of the challenge for the way that we've maybe all been taught to think. Those of us that went to business school and those of us who, you know, you're going to put a ministry plan together. It's going to be a 5-year plan. It's going to be a 10-year plan. You know, now we're talking about, you know, a 5-day plan or maybe a 5-month plan, but
and
nothing like
a what brought you here to this place is not what's going to bring you to the future. That's the big thing. And that's why, you know, I'm all about, I want to know what the best practices are, but you don't adopt those because the world's different. The world's changing this quickly. And so you want to know what is the best practices, what they've been in the past, but they're not going to work in the future. So you partly need to know best practices, but so you know what is not going to work in this future, which is coming at us so fast.
So I've been reading and listening to you for a long time. Soul Tsunami was my introduction to Lynn Sweet. And then you spoke at an event that I attended at First Presbyterian Church of Orlando. It's a long time ago now, but I remember it. And talking about church leadership that is not just future focused, but actually walks the church into the future, is very, very different in a Lynn Sweet world than in what most seminaries have taught over the last generation.
Yeah, and it's partly just what you just mentioned, Carmen, it's partly just a simple recognition that where do you find Jesus? And if you read the Gospels carefully, and the whole story of Jesus is that, yes, he pushes us from behind, but where you most find Jesus is he pulls us from the future. He's already in this future, calling us to join him. So we don't take Jesus anywhere. Basically, we join him in what he's already doing and up to. So he's a God of the future and pulling us towards him. He was always going ahead of his disciples, and he went ahead of them. And he's always ahead of us, and he's always calling us to join him in this future. So partly it's just how do I see Jesus in this future and join him in what he's already doing?
All right, I have a listener who is Reverend Dr. Castro, who tweets as Lava, but spelled L-A-U-V-A, 1956, who was introduced to you. You're giggling, so I'm wondering if maybe this is a person with whom you have some history. Aqua Church is what Reverend Castro says was his introduction to you. I've already confessed to him that mine was Soul Tsunami. Apparently, Dr. Castro's dissertation is based on some of your work. So there you go, a little shout out from a listener.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Well, yeah, that was my move from the tsunami to help people understand that it's partly what a tsunami brings is this is a new water world. It's a new aqua world. And so we got to do liquid church. We got to do fluid church. We can't do fixed church anymore.
I'm talking with Dr. Leonard Sweet. You can find him online. He's not hard to find, leonardsweet.com. Rings of Fire is the, you know, one of his 50-some books. We're talking about it today. Just came out in November of last year, and it's prescient, but so is most of Len's work. And so if you want a book that's going to help you understand the context that we live in today as Christians, but also see in advance the future into which we are going to need to be able to walk by faith as Christians and lead others, this is a great book for you to not only become educated, but inspired and equipped. Rings of Fire, Walking in Faith Through a Volcanic Future. When we come back, Len, one of the things that I want to talk about is chapter 22, which is political religion. And then I'd love to just talk about how it is that you are able to set mental hooks for us upon which we can then hang things as they happen, which helps us anticipate and prepare to act in the future, because that's what I feel like your particular gift to the church is. So that conversation up next with Len Sweet. Continuing my conversation with Dr. Leonard Sweet, let me read a couple of sentences here from the opening chapter of Rings of Fire, Walking in Faith Through a Volcanic Future. We take a fresh look in this book at the global megatrends affecting the church of the 21st and 22nd centuries, the hot zones worth keeping a watchful eye on, the hot topics that we can't avoid discussing, and the front burner issues making for a hot church, along with some hot takes to stimulate further consideration down the road. We approach these megatrends from a faith-based rather than a fear-based posture, and we have no interest in keeping up with the times, but rather in keeping up with Jesus and opening up to God's presence in the times we're in. Len Sweet, talk with us about faithfulness in the day in which we live.
Well, it means, yeah, you don't get to choose your moment. I mean, we're all here I say it's a divine appointment or an arranged marriage. I mean, in the sovereignty of God, God arranged a marriage for us with this moment of time. And I'm not prepared for it, and I'm totally not educated for it, but in the sovereignty and mystery and providence of God, God arranged this marriage of Len Sweet to this 21st century COVID-19 moment. And so God must think that I have something to do and to give and to bless this moment with. And so I'm here trusting God. And partly it's just that understanding that you don't get to choose your moment, that this is the moment that God has given us to do ministry and to lift up Christ. And so let's get at it and let's do it.
For those of you who are not familiar with Leonard Sweet, I want you to check out the website, leonardsweet.com. For those of you who are familiar with him, I know you already want the book, Rings of Fire, Walking in Faith Through a Volcanic Future. Let's turn to chapter 22, Political Religion. You know, we are in the midst of an election season and cycle, and this is the way you start this chapter. Politics is the number one religion of U.S. America.
Yeah, if I were to write a history of religion in the 21st century, Carmen, the first chapter would be devoted, really, to politics and to political religion and the religion of politics. We've we've either politicized our religious faith or made politics itself into a religious faith. And that is, for me, the very essence of idolatry. And so we have a, we begin with a problem here. I mean, 50 years ago, you would fight over, do I marry somebody of a different faith? Today, you would fight over, do I marry somebody of a different party? I mean, it's become that idolatrous. It's become that, if you will, religious. And, you know, I think that we've got to, in many ways, kind of depoliticize the environment. You can't lift up Christ and hate anybody. And we have people, Christians, both on left and right, hating people of different political persuasions. I mean, and do we really think that, that Jesus said, elect the right politicians and they will save you? I mean, only Jesus and prayer can change lives and can change communities and can change the world. Now, we need outside-in changes, which is what politics does, but the ultimate change is inside out, and that only Jesus can do. And so I just think we need to step back a little bit and understand what we've done, and that everybody loses out when polarizing politics wins. And our role is a healing role. It's a saving role. And politics is a polarizing role right now. And so part of our job, mission right now, is to heal the hurts of politics itself, not feed the disease, but heal the hurts. And so by all means, I mean, Jesus said, when his disciples said on April 15th, you know, what do we do about taxes? Do we pay the IRS or don't we? And Jesus says, you know, you give to Caesar what Caesar's. You know, vote and take it seriously and love your country, but you give to God what's God's. And that's where you give your worship. That's where you invest your future. That's where you invest your hopes.
One of the things you are uniquely adept at is making observations and then setting mental hooks upon which I can hang things when they happen. I can, because you set a mental hook in my mind to expect to see something, when I see it, I can recognize it. That is a very unique contribution that you make to church leadership today. And you are kind of wonderfully weird, but where do you feel like you fit? I always worry that sort of the weirdos don't really have a place where they fit in community.
Well, I for me, it's not fitting in, it's fitting together. And I don't think God calls us to fit in, but I think God does call us all to fit together. And so that's what we need to do, is each one of us has a unique gift and a unique grace. And living out of the fruit, it's singular, of the Spirit, we have a contribution to make to the wider body. And, I mean, for me, I'll give one example here is the only thing you started with, Rings of Fire, Johnny Cash. He also had another song called Supper Time. Do you remember that, Carmen?
Yeah.
Yeah, Supper Time. The only place you can go today and take off your mask in public, the table. You have to wear your mask to get to the table, but once at the table with your table mates, you take off your mask. The table unmasks us all. God's table unmasks all of us. And what COVID-19 is doing is help forcing us to go back to the table, to understand the power of the table. What replaces the temple in Judaism is the table. Jesus has a table ministry. It's time for us to bring back the table, to table it, not when you table it in terms of resolutions, but table it in terms of relationships. Bring back the table. This is the new. This is where Children's Church always should have been done, not outsourcing it to a building and an organization, but right at the table. And so, just one example of how, just looking at this is called semiotics, by the way. But just looking at, okay, where is it possible for us to? Wow, the only place you can take off your mask today is the table, and that's where we are being unmasked. And it's unmasking us, and it's what a, so in the midst of even a crisis and a pandemic like the one we have, God is doing something and reminding us that we can all open up our eyes to see it, of where our future lies.
Lynn, you're always working on the next thing, so go ahead and give us a foretaste of what's next. What are you working on?
Well, I have a book coming out with one of my doctoral students called Contextual Intelligence, which is how do you read the context that you're in? You have an IQ, intelligence quotient. You have an EQ, emotional quotient. And I'm arguing that there's also a CQ, a contextual quotient, and we have to. The church needs, especially, and Christians need to up their contextual quotient. And then in November is coming out. I've started a publishing company where I'm just going to start publishing my own books, and then I'm working with a novelist who's one of the top Christian novelists in the country. She's gotten all sorts of awards, the Christian Novel of the Year. Her name is Lisa Sampson. And so she's doing the novels. I'm doing the nonfiction. And we are telling the story of Jesus. It's a three-volume thing, but it's telling the story of Jesus from the standpoint of the donkey. You've had children's books that have done this. But we're gonna help you fall in love with this donkey. And this donkey is one of the most interesting characters I think ever been invented. And we've been working hard on this. We've named the donkey Issy, short for Issachar. It's a female donkey. And so the first volume, these are very short volumes, because they're really just retelling the story of Jesus like you've never heard it before. Saint Is, because Issy calls herself Is, I-S. So the book's called Saint Is, and it'll be a great Christmas book because it just tells the birth story of Jesus. And the donkey hears the conversation of that long trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem as Mary is 9 months pregnant going with Joseph to register for the census. And so there's a lot of fun in this book, and I hope you'll enjoy it.
I love that. All right, we're going to be looking for Contextual Intelligence. We're also going to be looking for Saint Is, the three-volume novel coming out at Christmas. Lynn Sweet, thank you so much. We're going to invite people to visit the website, leonardsweet.com. Lynn, thank you. Thank you so much.
And, oh, great to be with you, Carmen.
Yeah, it's just wonderful. We look forward to the next conversation.